everybody, you're listening to the High Sessions Hawaii podcast, where we talk about everything local and beyond. I'm John Yamasato, your host, and joining me today is Kaoshimu Bukuro, who's over there out of frame. Devin Nakoba over here, who's cannot talk. Before we begin, let me remind the listeners of all the ways they can stay in touch with the show. There's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at High Sessions. You can go to SoundCloud, YouTube, or Apple Podcasts to listen to the podcast. And finally, you can email us at highsessions@yahoo.com. If you'd like to get on, help the show, get more music on the channel, please go to patreon.com and donate. We have a new Patreon this week, Dennis. So thank you to Dennis for being a Patreon. Woo!
All right.
Okay, I'm trying to rush through this because we have a lot of people to introduce. Thank you to Kupu Kupu Landscaping, Landscape Architects. You can call Kevin Yokomura, 808-722-8685 for a free estimate on any landscaping, or go to kupukupulandscaping.com. Thank you to Fort Ruger Market. We have some of their food out here, and we've been munching on it earlier. Awesome stuff. And you can find Devin, Kumu 94.7, maybe next week, starting, once your voice gets back. And then Kyle at highlifeclothing.com. We do have High Life merch. High Sessions merch that you can find there. And without further ado, we'd like to introduce our special guest this week, the Seven Sons. Yeah. Woo! Okay, I might screw people's names up here. We have Justin Young, Sean Pimentel, Present. Ethan Capone, P.E. Miguel, Jason Tupuola Iono. Yep. Hey, okay, that was the one I was worried about. Paul Nelson, Phil Crown. All right, okay, hey guys, thank you so much for being here. I couldn't believe we got all of you on the thing. Justin, you just flew in, right?
Yeah, I got picked up at the airport about an hour ago. A lot of us just flew in.
Really? Who else just flew in?
My man right here just flew in. He just flew in from Maui.
So
he just came back from Japan.
Oh yeah.
2 days ago.
Really? What were you doing up in Japan?
Touring with Rebel Soldiers.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So when I saw this group formed, it's basically like the Avengers of music here in Hawaii. It's like all the superheroes, you know, getting together. So wait, how did this all kind of come together? Maybe one of you can give a background.
Go ahead, Sean.
I used to start.
Move the mic closer to you. Yeah, down. Thank you.
Phil wanted it. He wanted to block his face from the camera.
Oh.
It came up. Me and Paul and Ethan were doing a lot of gigs together, and we had this idea a couple of years ago. Like, hey, you know, we're all backup guys. We just kind of back up all these different artists. And what if we kind of flip the script and started our band, and we become the entity, and then we choose what lead singers we want to come and sing with us. And so we started doing, it's kind of like Scary Pockets, what they do, you know, on YouTube. So we tried like three or four. We had some lead singers come into the studio and whatnot. And so while we're trying this out, Justin came home for a gig, and he goes, "So what have you guys been up to, man?" And I said, "Well, trying this project, you know, looking for a lead singer." And he goes, "Well, I want to be your guys' lead singer." Well, for one, he lives in Nashville, and he's touring, you know, with Brett Young, and he's always gone, and he's got his thing going. But he goes, "No, you know, we've been talking about doing something together for years. You know, we've all been playing music together for years." And so I said, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'd like to do it." So it started with that, and I said, "Okay, well, of course we have to call P.E., you know." Yeah. And at the time, we were already, like, talking with P.E. about, like, you know, joining this entity that we're starting. And so that started, and then I said, you know, I really want to bring this other guy in. You guys might not have met him before, but, you know, I met him a few years ago, this guy, Phil Crown. I just think he's just amazing, you know, musician, but is amazing human being first, you know. I just enjoy being with him. And then he goes, "Okay," and Justin said, I think I want Jason to be in the group, you know, as well. And so we just kind of, he called Jason, I called Phil, I'm like, "Hey, let's do this thing." So then we started on Zoom last year, I believe in May, and just started kind of having, you know, Zoom meetings every week, and everybody kind of met virtually. We were in the same
Zoom.
Place. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Zoom,
started writing music and putting it together. So all the songs that we've done to this point have just been all separate. Like, we haven't all been in the studio at the same time.
Yeah, you were saying this is like the third time you guys are physically together at all.
Yeah, yeah. Not third time, like third day too. Like, just like the last two times were just kind of like a photo shoot, the first time, and then it was a video shoot the second time. Mm. We still even have played music together.
We've all played together, just not the seven of us at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, okay, wait. So I know I'm looking at down this line here, and I know multiple guys that I'm staring at play multiple instruments. So what primarily live are you guys, like, who's playing drums? Because you got multiple drummers, so you got multiple bass players and keyboardists. Who's playing what?
Yeah. I'll play drums. Pounds, no backs. Jason's actually going to switch off on bass and percussion as well.
Okay.
And Paul, too, is going to be playing bass and guitar as well.
Yeah, see?
And everybody's kind of switching off. And, you know, these guys are monster keyboard players, so nobody's going to touch the keyboards but those three guys, yeah. Justin might, you know. He jumps on the keys every once in a while. Well, he tracked a bunch of the keys on for the record as well. But, yeah, everybody's – and amazing voices, too. Like, some of the guys you haven't even heard sing yet that have been in the industry for so long. Like, yeah, just – I think everyone's going to be surprised. So, yeah.
So let me go to this side. Paul, did you just get a call out of the blue, or was this part of – were you in the original conversation?
It kind of came out of that group that Sean was describing, where we kind of just found ourselves on the same gigs all the time. So we're like, hey, maybe we should like try out a different thing, try generate the music ourselves, and then it grew from there. So
it's funny because you know, I love Scary Pockets. I watched all their videos and stuff. They haven't been posting lately as much. I think they're on tour and whatnot.
Probably, yeah.
But then we had Ryan Matsumoto, Hawaiian Ryan, mm-hmm. in a few weeks ago. He's like, we have this question at the end of the podcast that we'll ask you about favorite albums and stuff like that. And he's like, I don't need any other albums. I'll just listen to the whole Scary Pocket archive or whatever. So it seems like that thing has kind of like gotten its way into a lot of musicians' brains.
Yeah. And I think so it evolved into this where instead of doing covers,
yeah,
we started doing originals because we have like probably the best songwriter to come out of the islands, you know. So just pretty easy, you know. And the formula was like, all right, just start writing some like verses and hooks and send them on over, and like we just kind of divvied them up. So like Ethan will produce a track. I mean, produce one of the songs. Phil will do one. Paul will do one. You know, Jason, he's in San Diego, so we send him tracks. He tracks all his stuff over there too. Writes his verses and stuff and sends them back. Pete's tracking guitars at home, so everyone's got their studio setups and then throw stuff back. So yeah.
If you guys have to pick a genre or music,
Kyle, you have to talk into a microphone.
Can you tell my question?
pass them on.
Just come over here and ask a question.
What kind of genre of music are you guys considered in this band?
Go ahead, Ethan.
Let's hear your voice.
It's a perfect first question. The hardest one. I would say predominantly reggae so far, but there's elements of pop, R&B. Just a little bit of everything, but primarily reggae. Yeah.
I think the strategy is to kind of start there because it's what we know and it's where we are at, but everyone's so versatile that it's we kind of see it growing as we kind of grow as a band.
I think, sorry, again, my voice, but...
Very sexy.
Thank you. My thing is, you know, you think about it as the seven Avengers, right? But the Avengers kind of took a little while to gel because you were all monsters in Hawaii music. It's not like, this is about as close to a super group as you're going to find besides like Hawaiian style band. But even Hawaiian style band, like, you know, two guys, you know, one guy, but they would add Iz or they would add Roby or something, right? Mm-hmm. This is not that. Mm-hmm. This is seven really, truly established, talented musicians who can do a whole bunch of different stuff, all going, okay, we're going to do a collective. So is there an agreement that has to happen? You're also all really, really nice guys. So is it just a natural thing where everybody goes, okay. You know, because, you know, could have lead singer disease.
No, it's definitely.
just kidding.
Definitely, like, no egos. And I think that's one of the reasons we all chose each other. I don't want to say, like, I chose anybody or just chose everybody. Like, we all chose each other because, you know, it's reciprocated. Like, you know, if I called Phil to ask him to be a part of it, like, he agreed. Like, yes, we talked through it. And I think because of our background and that we back up so many people, it's in our job to like blend with whoever we're working with, or you know, be easy to work with, and like we work with the best people that come off the island. And so to continue to get those gigs, we got to like be on top of our game and be easy to kind of meld with, you know. And everybody in the group kind of does that, so it's actually easier because we're all come from the same mindset to you know, blend with each other and go, you know, like you guys bring ideas and we know what it's like to like not be able to have our ideas heard sometimes because we're not really part of the entity, you know. But now we're part of the entity, you know. Like so for Phil, like case in point, like he comes from New Zealand, right, from Aotearoa. But his background is so extensive. Like when I asked everybody to write bios, it was funny because 5 of the 7 guys have never written a bio before, you know. And we're like, whoa, you know, it's hard to talk about themselves. But that's one of the reasons we really wanted to put this together, was to celebrate each other. And we keep using that, to celebrate each other, because we built our careers on like shining our light on everybody else, you know, and helping everybody else to grow. And so that's how the 7 sons came up. It's, you know, we can all be our own sun, but it's time for us to shine our light on each other and help each other to grow. And so that's where we came up with that concept. But you know, for Phil, like when he wrote his bio, he had the longest bio out of everybody. Like you would have thought me and Justin had that long bio, or Jason, because he plays with everybody. But like Phil's and we're like, bro, this is like a book. Like he comes from like some real like.
I'm only on chapter 2 so far.
No, really.
You're still spoilers. No spoilers.
No. Even our manager Maddie was like, can somebody explain to me Phil's bio? Like we had to go through the whole thing.
It's a moldy thing. Speeches about.
Yeah. Well, Phil, how long have you been on the island? Because you're here now, right? Permanently.
Yep, I live here, and my both of my children born here, and I married a local girl.
Yeah, that's what got you.
Came here one time for a trip and fell in love instantly, and then I've been here ever since. That was about 9 years ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Justin, I wanted to ask you, since you're kind of plugged into the national scene and all that stuff. What's the strategy nowadays with bands? Like in the old days, it was like, okay, we're going to work on a full album and then we're going to record it, we're going to print it, and then we're going to go tour and try to sell this thing. But is that it's not the same, right, nowadays? It's a little different how the strategy of how you bring this out. And
I mean, I think it's definitely changed over the years. We're definitely a more mature group of musicians that have been all doing it a long time. Based on my track record on my last releases, I probably am not the person to answer that question. fortunately, we've been lucky enough to get a label involved early on, thanks to our manager, Maddie. And so they actually have a strategy that they feel like has a track record that works. So we're releasing some singles and then leading up to a full-length album. But yeah,
so it's all about the singles now.
I guess, man.
So it makes you think differently, right, when you're crafting your songs and stuff, because I mean there's I don't know, okay, from experience I've always felt like in any album you have your songs that you're like, okay, these are the ones that potential radio songs, and then you have your like these are my songs, these are the ones I like, but they may not make it to the radio or whatever. But now it's like you got to think more like, okay, if I'm releasing a single, this is the only thing representing me, it's got to have some.
And we're also a new band, so you know, I think There, we are excited for a point where we can do like a couple that are just for us, that we get to really be creative and be artistic. But we've also been doing it long enough where it's like, well, if no one's listening to the music, then we're not going to be able to keep doing this together. So we want to fulfill both sides of the equation so we can keep doing this and keep making music together. Yeah. So we're trying to, you know, thread that needle, make music that we think that will be listened to and heard, and also that we love.
Yeah.
So, what's the experience been like for you?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, luckily we've been able to do a lot of gigs through the years together, most of us. But now that we've added Phil and Jason to the mix, it's super exciting. And to see the support that we've been getting without even having any music out, really.
Not even playing a show.
Or even playing a show. It's kind of amazing. It's a trip, but it's been fun.
Yeah, so exactly. How do you, because you're going to be playing with the Green, I mean, coming up.
I was
going to
say, so we do have a show coming up, so let's talk about that a little bit.
So Jason, how did the rehearsals work out for that? Because you flew in.
Yeah, so Justin and I both flew in from the States, he's a lot farther than I am. I'm just in San Diego. We just arrived an hour ago. But so we have two rehearsals that are planned tomorrow at the Republic from, you know, 10 to 6. So we kind of got some...
10 to 6?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so we're going to be putting in some time, you know. So our actual first rehearsal for our first gig. So we're really pumped.
Dennis Kamikaze level practice.
We're still getting all the song arrangements down, and we got to time the set and get all that stuff figured out and dialed in. So... yeah, well, I'm excited, looking forward to
it. Not to mention, like, who plays what instrument for what song, right? Because you've got two keyboards, you've got multiple bassists, multiple percussionists.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the shows, the first shows coming up, that we can just stay on our instruments.
Let's talk about it now.
But, you know.
Paul, actually, he wanted you to just, like, I think you should jump out a bit. I was like, I think he's kind of worried about, like, writing the verses.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but, you know. If I had a choice for these kind of shows, I would just slap the skins.
Yeah. You guys are going to be fighting over, like, I'm just going to play percussion today. Yeah.
Oh, you can play the tambourine.
All right. Okay. So I guess maybe Sean, tell us about the gig on, what is it, Friday, Saturday? Because I'm going to try to get this out, like, right away. Okay. So this will be definitely out before the...
Yeah. Friday, we go to Maui and play at the Mac. So we're supporting Alan Stone, who we've all been fans of for years. Yeah, Alan Stone, and then the Green, and then we come home on Saturday and play.
Those are different concerts, though.
No, same concert.
Same concert with Alan Stone, you guys, and the Green.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's our first gig.
Wow.
Most people have to go play it, like, you know, the Carnival or something.
That's a pretty dope show.
Yeah. 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 Selena did, right? She did the carnival. She did the circuit, bro. it's Saturday. We come home and do it at the NBC.
NBC, so, yeah. Kyle and I were thinking of heading down. I don't know if this guy can go.
I'm going to try. But how do you work out a set for that? Because you were saying that the majority of the stuff is all original music.
It's actually all original music.
Many Feathers is out already.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And that's been getting a really good response. But I don't know. Again, I draw upon your experience because you've all been in bands where you hit the stage and nobody knows who the hell you are.
Yeah, you know, that's funny.
And
so,
you've got half an hour, right? And you're like, well, shit, what do we do?
No, so we got it down already. We've been writing and arranging these songs. And so we had three already that were mixed and mastered already, like along with Many Feathers. So we knew like that was probably the best formula. If we're going to hit... you know, with the first single, you need something to back up right away. So the next single is actually going to come out very soon. And then, but for this show, when we got asked to do this show, we're like, okay, well, we only got three songs, guys. Start writing. So Justin just been just like pouring out these songs, you know, and just comes up with like a verse and a hook. And we're like, yes. And we're all, those are the ones that like he comes up with demos, sends them out. And these guys have just jumped on them and started, you know, producing them. And because I was gone for 6 weeks in Japan, and so it was hard like not to be home. But you know, they're all such great producers too. So we just kind of divvied out everything, and then everybody came back with their ideas, and we're like, "Whoa, this is pretty awesome!" You know, it's amazing. And then some of the stuff wasn't even finished writing, so you'll have like the second verse, and it's the same as the first, you know, and then like a bridge that doesn't have anything, you know, but. He's written seven songs that we have, like they're just all originals, and they're all really good songs. Like, we're all excited to play them.
You guys are planning to learn this in a couple of days and then have a full set of original music?
Two long days.
Yeah. And then are you guys planning on doing anybody else's cover stuff? Or
we got a surprise. We're going to throw one out there.
Yeah.
We got a surprise. You got to come to the show. But yeah, I think when you guys hear the cover, we'll do one surprise cover. And it's going to be right in the middle of the set, and everyone's just going to go, what the heck? Like,
living on a jet plane or something.
No.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah. But no, it's a big sound. You know, when we started creating this, the idea was because we wanted to play these festivals. Like, all of us have been playing these big festivals on the continent and around the world. And, you know, not to say it's all like money driven, but we know like the potential of, you know, making a really good career. So that was the intent, was if you want to play for big crowds, you have to have a big sound, you know? And so we came up with a really big sound, you know? And
As you all produce, how does that go into your thing? Because everybody's got sort of their own their own style of producing,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess my question, like Ethan, Jason, when you guys get the songs, do you have to sort of put yourself in a mindset, okay, this is what a Seven Sons song would sound like, and then you each kind of, okay, that's what we do? Is that how that works?
There's just a lot of trust. So like, I just know whatever I bring back to these guys, it's going to be dope, whatever it ends up being. But it might not be like, you know, my word is not like the end all be all. It's like, here's some ideas, like take that and run with it. But it's a lot of ego checking. Like, I'm not trying to be like, hey, you got to do it exactly like this. Like, everybody has their own strengths, you know?
It's been really a true collaboration. We've been kind of like volleying songs back and forth and shifting things and taking ideas and keeping stuff and rearranging stuff and
making it faster
and higher.
So beyond these two concerts that you guys are doing this weekend, is there like a plan to tour and all that stuff already set, or is just being set as we speak?
It's been amazing, like the response we've gotten already. It's been amazing the response we've gotten already. Just because we have like an amazing manager and legal team and creative directors. I mean, all the work that we've done up to this point has just been everything behind the scenes and off stage. And we all know, because we've been doing this for so long, that that's the groundwork that needs to be laid to playing the music. So everyone's like, what? You guys don't have any songs yet? And you guys haven't done a gig? You guys haven't even rehearsed or anything like that? But for us, that's actually the easiest part. It's all the other stuff. And anybody who started a band or has been in a band before knows that that's the easy part. Like, for us, that's the reward. It's all the other stuff, getting up, going through the legal stuff, going through contracts, you know, just trying to get, you know, the right team together.
So that's the business part that takes away everything.
I mean, like, somebody told me a long time ago, like, that's why it's called the music business, right? It's half-half. You got to know the music and the business part. And I think, I don't want to say everybody, but, you know, we tend to neglect that part as artists because we don't want to deal with it no matter what. But we just have amazing people around us that are supporting us and guiding us, and then guiding each other, you know, because we've been doing this for so long, and everyone has such great insight and wisdom into this. So, but the phone's ringing already, and the offers are coming in, and we're just like, bro, we're still kind of giggling about it because, again, we didn't, you know, do a gig yet, and we're like, what if we suck, you know? I mean, even before the music came out, everyone's like, like seeing the picture, like, whoa, but like you said, like, what if it doesn't work? What if we really suck?
Do you guys feel any pressure for the first shows? Wow. There's some expectations.
I mean, there's a lot of work to do going up into it, so I feel that sort of pressure, as I'm sure we all do. But like, I've a lot of confidence in this group and a lot of trust and like all the experience we have. So, I'm just excited to play, man.
Yeah. Decent sensation. How do you feel about the shows?
Yeah, I hope we're able to back up the hype. Because sometimes I read all the comments and I'm like, yeah, we're that for sure. But then you're always like, there could be that chance, you know? Like,
yeah.
Kobe and Jordan miss sometimes, you know, like, yeah, well, I'm just hoping that's not the case. But yeah, like everybody said, we trust each other. And I mean, we wouldn't all be sitting here doing this together if we didn't think that it wouldn't go anywhere, you know, or flying back and forth and spending all our time tracking all this stuff. And so everybody's well invested. And so I know that we all believe in each other. And I think that's one of the main things we got going.
With the vocal prowess in this group, how did you guys work out harmonies? Because that's a big part of what you guys do sound-wise, right? Because part of the big sound is the amount of voices that you guys just have. So,
between Phil, you know, coming up with some amazing keyboard parts, and he's such a great vocalist too. He hears, you know, a lot of his background's in like R&B and stuff, which, you know, most people wouldn't think like, how's that all gonna work? But he's come up with some really cool chord voicings that, again, lend itself to different harmonies. And then, of course, Justin, like, tracks a lot of the vocals, and so it's just easy to go, like, okay, that's the part. P, come in, you know. Phil, come in, you know. Whoever is, like, saying, you know, Jason, can you sing over this part, or can you do this part, you know. So, it's again, it's that trust, but we were talking about how, you know, seven of us, like, being in the studio together, how sometimes that's challenging to work together, you know, and get ideas and arrange things together and produce things together. But doing it away from each other, you know, it's like when you text somebody, it's easy to misconstrue what they say or, you know, miscommunicate through emails or even through phone calls. So the trust has to be like 100 times that, you know. Yeah. And that's exactly what we really feel already, you know. It's like, it's not, I don't think it's just a honeymoon phase or anything. It really, because we've known each other for 20, 30 years, you know, so and work together.
When this band starts moving full steam ahead, because it will, mm-hmm. you know, what is your guys' long-term plans as far as being rooted or staying put somewhere to actually talk to each other, practice, perform, record, and tour? I mean, Justin, do you have like some plans to move home sometimes? Are you guys thinking of moving to the mainland possibly? What is the future stand for this band?
I mean, I could see moving closer to Hawaii because it is pretty far to get home for this stuff. But yeah. I mean, we'll just kind of see how things go. I think like we also don't want, you can't gig at home more than once every couple months. So, you know, we'd love to be exploring markets outside of here. So ideally it doesn't really matter and I can just come home for a couple of weeks and we need to record or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the goal, to have that freedom. Yeah.
I think we're all going to move to Aotearoa.
Sounds like a plan.
So the, like that part of it, the moving part of it, what do you guys tell your other bands? Because literally the seven of you are in or play with the majority, like 18, 19 bands in Hawaii. You know what I mean? Like, and you're not small parts of these bands. You're very integral parts that if they go out on stage, they kind of want to bring you. So how is that going to work?
Yeah, bro, Sean, how are you going to sleep?
I know, really.
I just tell you my schedule from the last week. I mean, like this weekend has just been... We had Kalapana gigs. I had rehearsal with Kili Ure Show this morning.
And Mary Monarch, right?
Mary Monarch was last week. But, you know, everyone that I work with has been so supportive, along with everybody else that these guys work with has been so supportive. And, like, really cheering us on. Like, even Kili Ure Show this morning, like, you guys are gigging with Seven Sons, yeah, this weekend? Like, you know, just to hear them be stoked for us because we have our own thing now. Just been amazing, man. Like Phil just came back from Japan with Rebel Soldiers, and those guys, you know, just been really, really, you know, encouraging and wanting, you know, the best for him, you know, because they know what a great talent he is, you know.
By the way, how you guys like Devin's new radio voice? Kind of sexy, huh? I'm not used to him coming up to the mic. When you got your ass, that's such a weird look on you, man. You better get your voice back.
Your lips to God's ears. Yes. Thank you.
John.
I have a kind of a technical question. Since you guys all have your own studios, for the musicians that are kind of starting out and, you know, they want to put down tracks and stuff, what are you guys all using to record? Like, what is a basic, because I know, you know, everybody has GarageBand because that comes on every Mac, but what is your basic kind of tracking thing that you've been shooting tracks back and forth with and stuff?
Here, Phil's the tracking guy.
Okay, Phil.
I think he does more tracking than everybody else.
All right, into the mic, man. Let us know. What is it?
I mean, it's all... We basically use every DAW program from Pro Tools, Logic, Ableton.
Before like you couldn't cross.
DAWs.
Like if you're on Pro Tools, you can't go to another platform. But now you can do it.
You still can't.
Oh, geez.
No. You got to bounce them all out from.
Oh,
from the
so you turn them into like a WAV file or something, and then send them. Oh, okay.
Dropbox.
So you need a
shout out Dropbox.
Yeah.
Said no one.
So that's Google Market and Dropbox.
You transfer and all that stuff. Wait, hold on. Devin, can you ask a question? I gotta get.
You
want
to get the dog?
Yeah, okay, come on.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, the dogs all upset.
Oh boy.
We love dogs.
these dogs are something else. Because they're just gonna keep making noise.
Yeah.
There they come.
That is awesome.
We could only keep
keep them contained for so long?
Not to. We had an interesting talk with Penny Dean, 3 weeks ago. This, and because the seven of you are here, I kind of wanted to get your individual takes. But he said something that was very interesting and hooked a lot of people's mind. A lot of people thought about it. When we talked about new artists and new people trying to get into the business, like what does he suggest? And his advice was 10 years. He said, if you knew, commit 10 years. And I'm not saying that you guys need to. You guys have done more than 10 years. But as far as, I think once he said it, he felt a little nervous about saying it because he felt like he was telling people, okay, you gotta commit 10 years to doing this or it's not really worth doing. And I was surprised because the feedback we got from other musicians was, yeah. It wasn't a thing of, oh, no, you can totally do it. You know, you'll totally do it by getting on American Idol or something. And I just kind of wanted to get your takes on it. Because, again, I mean, you guys have put in the time. So, I mean, if people are thinking they're going to get into this and be Seven Sons, where you come in and all this stuff is all set up for you, I think they sometimes don't see all the stuff that's behind you to get to this point.
Like, everything's happened so fast, like, in less than a year for us, like, just with this entity. But we've been building this for 30 years individually, you know, all the things that we've worked on and to get to this point. And we feel like stuff that we've done before, you know, like, in your 20s, and you go, oh, you think you got to figure it out. And then you get to your 30s, you go, oh, man, no, like, now I got to figure it out. And then you get to your 40s, you know, and some of us to our 50s, you know. Well, one of us to our 50s, right? So, but, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way because I don't think I could have done this in my younger years, you know, to this extent. And so taking all that wisdom and experience. And then even the guys that we're working with, you know, you have friends that you've grown up with or that you had in high school that you think are going to be your best friends forever, you know, and they don't end up being that, you know. But then you do find people along the way that become your lifelong friends. And I think that's how we kind of chose each other. It's like, these are guys that we know, like, they're gonna be around for a long time. It's not just, hey, I'm out of here, you know, I'm looking for the next best thing, but really have something to, you know, the skin in the game.
P, what about you? I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, there's a big reason why we chose to be together too. 10 years, I remember him saying that, and that was kind of a heavy one. You know, we've all kind of laid the groundwork for ourselves as individual musicians. We've all been around for 10, 20, 30 years, like Sean said, as musicians on our own. And then together, we've been playing for years, you know what I mean, in different entities, different circles. So, you know, not only did we lay the groundwork, but I think we chose to be with each other because it fit, yeah? Everything fit. And it's like, for me, it's like you hear everybody saying it's, oh, it's a super group, it's the la la la. For me, it's just my brothers, you know, and I just am lucked out that I got to play in this band with all these guys. So I'm stoked. You know, that's how
I always
feel.
You're always that guy. You...
What?
we're saying, he's like Forrest Gump. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, wow. How'd I get over here?
This guy finding all these old pictures on the internet. I trip out. So
but it's,
funny.
But I mean, it's. I think it's what makes it really rewarding for us who've been fans of yours and friends of yours for a long time, to see the success that you're having. That seems to people to be coming very quickly. But it's really, because I mean, Ethan, I've been to gigs where Ethan's sitting there playing keyboards and there's some drunk person up on stage and he's got to play some song and he's having to pull the thing out of his...
What you mean last night? Exactly. Last night's gig? Yeah.
But, you know, you're trying to, you know, do this masterful job of doing musicianship with people and they don't quite get it, but you still do it because of the love you have for the music, you know? So the fact that you're able to bring all that together and do that here is really... It's really rewarding. It's cool, man.
Yeah. Sure.
I wanted to switch because it's where local music and beyond. Did everybody see the fight on Saturday?
Oh my God!
Yeah. I just want to send a big shout out to Max.
Max.
Yes, sir.
I,
What a knockout.
I had my son's birthday dinner that night, so I was cooking steaks, and Kyle ordered the show. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm trying to get out of there so I can go kind of catch it. And all I get is Texas, OMG. I'm like, oh, man. So I didn't know if it was good or bad or whatnot, but...
You know, I got to butt into that one. So it was funny on Instagram. You just see all the videos and the posts of all, everyone going nuts, right?
Yeah.
So I was in Hilo. My two daughters were at the prom for Kamehameha School Hilo. And all the dads were watching. We were in the courtyard of the Nanilo Hotel in the grassy area. And everyone's taking pictures. All the moms are taking pictures with the kids, turning around, looking at us. And we're huddled around a phone. We're all watching. And then right when the knockout happened, we were like, ah! And everyone, yeah, it was a trip. It was the same reaction.
I want to get Jason's take because he's got a different relationship with MMA than we all do. Word, right?
Yeah. Because right? of his fiance.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're just, you know, I get the bad end of the side of the MMA stick, you know, maybe or maybe not, but yeah. So we watched the fights in San Diego and. There was actually happened to be a random Hawaiian girl that just moved to the state or San Diego from Kapolei. She was working and she was the only one chihuing along with us. The rest was all mainland people, but it was awesome to see Max win and get the KO.
I saw your reaction video.
Yes, my reaction or our reaction video made it onto 808 Viral. Shout out 808 Viral, yeah. But you know, I was thinking like, this could go either way. This could be a really good night or a really bad night, you know, like. Yeah.
I was worried about that fight, man, because Justin Gaethje is a monster. And when he went up and fought Dustin, it didn't go well. So I think it was definitely the greatest moment of watching MMA for me, and probably for a lot of us, finish. Also because he was up. So it wasn't like he was getting dominated and then got lucky and landed something. Yeah, he was up in the fight, called for the center of the ring, and to knock him out with 1 second left, it was just so epic. That's legendary status.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now we want the real professional.
Yeah. Ilima, what do you think about that fight?
The fight? Oh, it is heavy. Yeah, basically, like, Jason is like, okay, you've watched it how many times already? Like, all I've been doing the last 48 hours is just, like, rewatching the plays and, like, rewatching everybody's reactions. And I think that the coolest part about all of that was, like, it truly united everybody. And it's, you know, despite every, you know, I've said this several times, but, like, despite everybody's political beliefs or, you know, whatever beliefs you have, religion, race, whatever, like, everyone in Hawaii was losing their minds. And everyone around the world was losing their minds. And so we all, I think, like, that was the best part about it was Max really did unite us all.
Yeah. And such a good representation after, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, no smack talking, just real classy and so.
Yeah, if you don't like Max, you're a hater.
Hater.
Yeah. You know, my
true story, too, outside of the bar we were watching, so this guy goes, oh, he won because of the eye pokes. And I said, oh, you can poke me in the eye and I'll still kick your ass, guaranteed. And he's like, okay. And then he just went back inside. So that's how I was feeling.
I told my sister, who doesn't watch UFC, to come down because I rented the fight. So she goes, I bring my kids, we'll hang out. That was the first fight she ever saw in UFC. And I looked at her, I go, you just saw the best fight ever. Now, I don't think you can ever beat that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hopefully they're hooked as fans now, you know?
I think my first one was Tank Abbott.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty fun. Was a guy from Hawaii that did...
John
Kimo. Matula.
John Matula. Yeah.
That was the first one that I was like, oh my god! Yeah,
that's
my uncle.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I rented UFC 1 on pay per view when it first came out in 1992 or something. Wow. So of 30 years of watching it, it's pretty mind blowing. Like, there's not much that can like blow my mind at this point, but that was unreal. Yeah,
and just so you don't feel bad.
Yeah.
If you had gotten in your car and tried to drive to Kyle's house, you wouldn't have made it because the construction. It took me 2 hours to get from Hawaii Kai to where he lives. Oh. I missed the whole fight.
I know. Okay.
Like, no. I got there just in time to watch the last fight where I got clock and went down. Yeah. That's all I saw. That's all I saw.
Okay, so we're coming to this part, and I'm giving this extra time because we have so many of you. Now, Justin and Sean have done this, so maybe we'll do... Oh, PE's done this too. So we'll do everybody else, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So this is our last question because we're on a music channel. So we'll start with you, Paul. So if you were stranded on a desert island for the rest of eternity and could only take three albums with you to listen to for the rest of the time, what would those three albums be? So yeah,
there's the right answer.
So I don't know if you guys want to go in whichever order, but Paul, Ethan, Phil, Jason can all answer because these guys already gave their
thoughts. Yeah, that's a tough question.
Yeah, it is tough.
You got one,
P? Oh my God, it's impossible. Can you do like anthology albums or best of? Or?
All right, we have. For the young kids, because they don't know albums, we have done like artists. So three artists that.
Oh man, I could say the anthology, A Tribe Called Quest. Yeah. That would definitely be like for sure the one of them. But man, I need more time for the other two.
Yeah, if you don't know that, Ethan had a band before, and Paul was in it too, called the Deadbeats. It was a hip-hop band. Yeah, that was his band. Yeah. He's a hip-hop fanatic.
Rest in love. Deadbeats.
Along with Jason, the other hip-hop fanatic.
Oh, man, I feel like, if you asked me this question when I was a kid to now, it would be different albums, you know, but I'm just going to have to go with UB40, Labor of Love. Mm. Maybe the La Bamba soundtrack.
Yeah. That's a first.
Hey, actually, let me ask this question.
Yes.
I was thinking of showing my kids that movie, but I haven't seen it in 25 years. Do you think it still holds up?
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
probably, right? Because it's just a true story. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, Labor of Love, La Bamba soundtrack, and let's go with... we need one island, people, so maybe like Kyle Crater Boys Valley Style.
Hey. I don't know. Oh, man. That's classic.
Good morning. Wait, so Ethan, you're just taking just the Tribe Called Quest.
I'm still thinking. I'm still working on this other
two, so we gotta work on Paul.
Paul, you got anything?
Oh man.
Or Phil.
Oh yeah, Phil. Phil too. Yeah.
I mean, there's like albums that you think are like great. And then there's albums that you thought were great at the time that kind of changed your life. Right. I mean, I still think these albums are great, but I remember one of my earliest memories is Paul Simon's Graceland. Mm-hmm. Listening to that with my parents. Yeah. And then in like middle school, I started like heavily listening to like punk rock and that sort of thing, and or I guess more like pop punk. But so like Green Day Dookie was like the first album I bought. Kind of sent me down that road.
Just shows his age.
Yeah. And then something reggae. Like in high school, it turned to like Groundation, and I started to see like the breadth of the genre. You could do all these different things within reggae. You could incorporate different styles and think about different ways.
Was there reggae band you played with before?
Which one? High school. I had my own band that like we played like punk shows and just like kind of Chinatown stuff, you know.
With the other one from Kailua, I
can't remember the name.
Bukla?
Dreadashanti.
No, not Dreadashanti. I thought you played with another rave, like dubstep.
Man, between the seven of you guys played at everybody.
Ancient history.
Phil, what you got?
Circles. Yeah, Phil.
I was hoping you'd forgive.
Impossible question. Man, yeah. It kind of speaks to our careers there. That we can't think of anything because it's kind of anything and everything has been an influence for me, and they're all as great as each other, you know. I think it was Extensions of a Man. My dad showed me Donny Hathaway when I was young. I was listening to Boyz II Men and he said, "Oh, that's all old stuff." And have listened to this, and so kind of put me on to that, listening to 70s and. But then I go from there. There's an album by Jodeci called "The Show, The After Party, The Hotel," and not many people really noticed it. But I mean, it's sonically it stood up
all these years. It's a really modern sound. It was made in like 1995 or something. And the vocals is all crazy. And the whole thing is like a journey with interludes. So it's kind of like an album, you know, that you listen to from start to finish.
Back when albums were albums, like that.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, other than that, I just have those kind of listen to a lot of George Benson. I don't know which album, but all of those classic artists, Steely Dan, and you know, right across the board.
Ethan, are you jazz? Because you can play kind of anything keyboard wise. Like, how did you? Where does your background come from keyboards? Were you classically trained or just ear? How did you get to where you are?
Yeah, it was jazz. Yeah, okay. For sure. So I studied jazz in college. Like, that's definitely my main background. But I like to think that leads to a lot of other things. Like George Benson, for example. Like, yeah, that's jazz, but it goes to soul, R&B, a lot of other genres. So that's my foundation, but I kind of hate to say that because it's like easy to be like, oh, he's like that jazz. He's the jazz piano player. Mm. I'm not trying to just be like the jazz piano player, you know, like I love this other kind of music, you know, so.
Yeah. But how do you even, did you go to like keep piano lessons and then got into?
Oh yeah. Since I was four. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like the whole private lessons and the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. My mom, she was a teacher. She was my first teacher.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I just, what do you think about this idea? Because I always tell people, because I went to piano lessons when I was like five, but I hated it.
It's like everybody, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all like Bach and Beethoven and stuff like that. And yeah. I'm like, you know, if they would teach the kids like something that they liked,
yep.
Maybe they'd be more apt to learn it. So like when my daughter started playing guitar, it's like, oh, here, you know, give me one of your Taylor Swift albums and kind of listen to those songs and try to have her play that because then she likes that music, right? Mm-hmm. But but you just ate up all the classical stuff too, and
no, man, I could not agree with you more. I hated it, so it was like really difficult, and it was hard with my mom because that's your mom, right? So you don't want to listen to your mom. So she found out pretty quick, like, okay, we got to give this guy some blues, we got to get him some ragtime, and I got into like boogie. You know, so that was my way in. And then that was enough to kind of like to push me on a different trajectory because I would have quit too, honestly. Mm. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I was the opposite. I didn't, no lessons. Just, I was at high school and someone who became such a close friend of mine turned up and played Rhythms in the Sky.
Yeah.
And I got him to teach me that. And I probably for a whole summer, I was just trying to play that over and over again. And then I added a couple more songs and then kind of figured out, recognized all the patterns and built. But like you say, I ended up with a love for the piano. Like I just was addicted to it and just went from there.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, did we get everybody's? Did we get all yours?
Oh, you need two more for me. Okay. So Steely Dan, Asia. And then third is Michael Jackson, Off the Wall.
Yes. That's
the best. Yeah. All right. Okay, Devin, you got any last things you want to throw at them? Or?
No, I'm just happy we got you all here today, and congratulations on all the impending success and everything that's going to be happening. I mean, it's always cool when your friends and your family create something together that they really believe in and they have their hearts into, you know? And the fact that you guys are all creating it as a brotherhood, trying to look out for each other, reminds me kind of Chant,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I just want to tell you guys congratulations. I'm just really stoked for you guys. And now, can you guys go practice so you know something?
Yeah, no, thanks so much for being here with us today. We're all super excited for it. As soon as the picture came out, I'm like, ooh, like. So just let us know how we can support you, and hopefully we get you all back after some shows.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having us. We're super stoked to be here, and for you guys always supporting me. Like, even for Devin, like, we're in Japan, and you know, we called into the radio station, you know, but he'll always take our calls, you know, wherever we are. If, you know, Justin's on the road, anybody's on the road, and he's like, call in, we want to see where you guys are at, or, you know, you guys always support the music, and we appreciate that, so thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. Kill it out there for us guys who's sitting at home. I live precariously through to you. Precariously.
I live precariously. That's
a Freudian slip. Vicariously through you guys. So,
you had it right the first time.
All right. Okay. Thanks, guys. And everybody else, we'll see you next week. Have a good
thank
one.
Thank you.